The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 45.
Episode 45. Good to be here.
It's good to be alive.
Yeah. We tried to film a podcast yesterday, and there was technical difficulties for over 2.5 hours, and then a good solid hour today. It's one of those things that I used to follow a guy named Mike Boyd on YouTube, and every time he was trying to learn something new that was very difficult or a problem would pop up in his learning experience, these people have done lots of studies, and they've actually figured out that actually taking breaks from learning, so you learn for, you know, a certain amount of time, and then when you get frustrated on it, take a break and totally, like, do not think about the problem and come back at a later date. And every time I've ever done that, it always seems to, I'll come back the next day or a couple hours later, and I'll be able to figure more of the problem out.
It's your reticular activating system.
Yeah.
And it's the part of your brain that problem solves. And so when you're not focusing on it, it's running in the background.
Yep.
And you're fixing the problem. And
exactly.
So we got it fixed.
Hopefully.
For the third or fourth time now. And, you know, y'all, the solution is buying another $500 piece of equipment. And we have literally spent thousands of dollars between the cameras and the mics and the Stream Deck and the Focusrite.
There's always one more thing. You know?
There's always one more thing, and it's always better and it gets frustrating. But if you guys have any all-in-one solutions for under $300,
sure.
We're game. We're always.
Or if you just have an extra.
Or if you're just itching to send us one for free.
Or if you got one just laying around and you want to sell one, you know, a little bit cheaper than $600, you know, if you got a couple laying around or something.
$399.
Like, because I know a lot of audio guys out there, they got, you know,
that's true.
A couple of them, you know, and they're like, oh, that's using this one, you know. So hit us up at countrytexasboys@gmail.com if you got one. Soundboard.
Yeah, so let's jump into it. Around the farm, what's going on around the farm?
Around the farm, we got we got about 6 inches of rain in two and a half days.
We got 6 inches of rain the first day. I think we got 9. Okay, so here's what happened, y'all.
Seriously?
Yeah, here's what happened. So I purposefully put out a garbage can, because a plastic garbage can. I'm like, I want to know how. I knew we were going to get a lot.
Massive.
They were projecting
dumps.
3.
Yeah.
And the first day when I left, I measured and it was 6. And I was like, whoa. So I purposely left it there. And then I came home. Y'all were cleaning out a truck or something. And of course, you dumped out the trash can to use it as a trash can. I mean, first off, who uses the trash can as a trash can?
Idiot would do that. Such an idiot.
You moron. So there's that. But I was curious. All the swales were full though. So I know we definitely got, I would say we probably got at least 9 inches, and the pond hit the overflow.
Yeah.
So the pond came up like 2 feet.
At least 2 feet.
So,
we've
gotten a lot of rain.
Insane amount of rain.
And then a couple things that I've been working on is we converted our mitt lighter garden system into a blueberry fig tree patch, because it's like automated water as well. In addition to that, I've intensively planted comfrey in there. So we're growing comfrey in there. And then today I added one of the ever bearing strawberry varieties. So I really want the ground cover in there to be basically comfrey and strawberries in between the blueberries and the fig trees. And
awesome.
We've been getting tons of rain. And when we don't, every day I turn the irrigation on. So the blueberries are loaded and packed out. So
also around the farm, you want to talk about the elephant in the room?
Which one?
The eclipse happened on Monday. That was Monday?
Well, we're going to, this is kind of going to be our main topic.
Okay.
So if you want to, we could just kind of talk in general.
Okay.
Because it's part of our whole topic.
Sure. Yeah. That happened before all the rain. We thought it, I think that was a lot of people thought that we were going to get rained out for the eclipse, and that would have really stunk because now knowing how incredible it was,
it would have really stunk for all the people that flew from all across the world to come view it. We had a lot of visitors, y'all.
A lot.
Well, we personally, we didn't have any visitors, it was kind of like it was that awesome. Way. But our state had lots of international travelers that came here legally, surprisingly, and left. So that was cool.
That's nice.
But you know, interesting dynamics going on here. But so we got that going on, and then we've had our fences tested because Beans has decided that she wants to wander the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's been possessing her and Danny Pig to, like, all of a sudden, I guess since we took all of her babies away from her, now she's just like,
she just wants to explore.
Yeah, explore.
So she'll test the fence and scratch the fence until
we feed her so much feed and everything.
It's ridiculous. You know? But so all of the fences are triple fortified.
Mm-hmm.
So right
now, is she back in?
Yeah, she's in the front orchard. Danny's in the back orchard for the time being.
Yeah, until he finds a hole. Or makes a hole.
So stinker. I'm pretty sure she's still there.
Hopefully.
I thought she was there three or four times.
If she keeps getting out, we're going to go ahead and run a little strand of electric wire at the bottom of it, possibly.
I think we're good. We have hog panel, and as long as there's the proper T-post and it's attached properly.
We converted the one food forest fence. It was just normally a normal fence,
right?
And the T-posts were on the wrong side of the hog panel, so it was a weak part in the fence. But they've literally been in there for, we've had pigs running in there for several years now. And they've never breached it until now.
Yeah, and which that's is so beauty. Weird. That's the beauty of your infrastructure, you know, is you do it once, you have it. We originally set that fencing up to keep certain animals out, to keep chickens and ducks in, and so you just have to modify it, and you know, you have to maintain stuff.
Yeah,
so that's all part of that process.
Yep.
And I'm gonna lower my chair a little bit.
There you go.
And that's all part of the process. So Beans has been helping us find the weak parts in our fencing, so we've been fixing that.
Yeah,
and that's been a lot of fun.
And then James and Buddy have been spreading lots of manure and the lime on the properties.
The rabbit manure.
That's great. Yeah, we were able to actually borrow our neighbor's sprayer, and I was able to call around because that was really putting us in a pickle. Yeah, so at least we were able to borrow one. It was actually a really nice one. It can hold up to like 200 gallons or so. Come to find out, we were thinking about buying one, but then when I researched them, these bigger sprayers are $5,000-$6,000. So it was very nice that we could
really
borrow
cool
it from our neighbor.
Hooked up to the PTO. Yeah, it was really cool.
I offered my neighbor. I was like, "Hey, I'll rent it from you because I'm just looking for, you know, I just need a sprayer, or I'm going to be charged like hundreds of more dollars." To pay the company that we bought all the manure from to come out and spray it on our fields.
And, you know, it's bioactive only for if you don't keep a bubbler in there and agitate it. It's only good for 48 hours. So we were kind of up against a pinch.
Yeah.
But we got it all sprayed. So that's cool. And so that should definitely help with the hay harvest.
Definitely.
This fall.
Well, especially with all this stinking rain, too. I mean, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
Somebody reached out and asked us if we were doing sweet potato slips this year. I said, no.
You sadly.
Know, it's just too wet, and we're kind of too busy to do that this year. So we didn't have those available this year. But
If we would have planted potatoes now, they would be rotten.
They would be super rotten. It's just and I'm not going to complain. We've just
not complaining about the rain at all.
And
big answer to prayer.
Yeah, it's been great. So that's pretty much for around the farm this week.
Yeah. Big news. James did sell his truck, so that was good.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Then we sold the truck, and then tomorrow The permaculture consultant, William, is coming. He's buying our smaller stock trailer.
Yeah, a little bumper pull.
Yeah, so that was awesome. He came to get the last two pigs, and I told him about the stock trailer. He's like, hey, man, I'm looking for a stock trailer.
Yeah.
And it's got brand new tires. And I was like, I just mentioned to the boys, I'm like, we should sell this because, I mean, this thing is in absolute pristine condition. And it's a shame for it to just sit here.
Yeah. Because we went out and we bought a used gooseneck cattle trailer because since we've been hauling really big cows around and several at a time, you know, we just needed something more beefy and that would haul better with our truck. And now since we got the bigger truck and since it has that B&W gooseneck hitch in it, it rides better and everything like that.
Speaking of beefy trailers, we still have a quarter of beef like available. So if you are in the Northeast Texas area
and you are looking for some grade A ground beef,
grade A Angus, black Angus that was grass fed and grain supplemented to get that fat content. We just got ours back and I'm telling you, the quality is off of the charts.
The marble marbling is incredible. It's insane.
And
it's
Matt have two ribeyes and a New York shrimp thawing right now. So when we're done, we're going to be eating.
We're going to talk a little bit more of something that I actually been hearing a lot about.
Meat hack.
A little meat hack.
Okay.
In the health update.
Well, it just check. So happens that we're segueing into health check.
Okay. There you go. So meat hack is, and it's been kind of going around and I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it. I'm pretty sure Sean Baker was the first guy that I saw it on, or maybe another carnivore channel. I forget, but people are taking some type of, normally like a pot, and then they'll put several sticks of butter in it. Enough butter that you could submerge a steak in it. And then you take your steak.
A lot of butter, bro.
No, it's a lot of butter. It's quite a bit. And you submerge your steak in the butter. And then you put this thing in the oven for like an hour. Low and slow. And then you pull this thing out. I forget what temperature it is. I have to do some more research on it. And then you get a searing hot skillet. Cast iron skillet, and then you sear it on both sides.
30 seconds.
And there, people are saying it's insane because, and then while you're searing it, you pour a little bit of the butter on top of it too. They say it's just out of this world. And if y'all are wondering what's up with the green on my arm, that's grass stains. I was mowing and changing out lawnmower blades. So,
we were supplementing. We dumped about 100 pounds of clover and
at least.
Grass.
So what? The deal was with my lawnmower. I know this is health check. This should have been on the farm thing, but I was able to change out my blades to a bagger blade, actually. So it has a little bit more air friction or whatever you would say. And it bags the grass so much better. But anyway, health check. Good. No sickness, no sinus stuff happening. I think mainly with the pollen, it ebbs and flows. Normally in the spring, I normally always get a little bit clogged up in the morning sometimes in my nose. But other than that, really, really good. Been doing really good with working out. Had a little bit of an accident yesterday. Had a pretty exciting thing was I was putting up my weights the one day and I was doing 75-pound curls. And I've been doing that for probably 5 or 6 months now. And, you know, doing up to 20 to 25 reps and on those. And then I was like, well, the heaviest thing I have to put on my Olympic bar is I can get it up to like 125. So I was like, wonder if I could actually curl that or not.
So you're doing a bar curl, not 75 pound dumbbells.
No, bar curl.
Okay.
Bar
curl. Gotcha.
With the Olympic bar. Cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me just try it out. And if anything feels goofy, you know, I'll stop or anything. So I was able to do it the first day. I was able to get 6 out and I was super excited because I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And the next day, because I was like at the end of the workout when I tried that out. And then the next day was my actual work, like heavy workout. And I started doing it. And first rep did good. I went up to six, went up to eight. What I've actually been doing, which is very interesting to me with my workout, is, and I don't, it must be something with the human body or something, or at least with my body, is that if I mix up, so say I do push-ups, then I do my curls, then I do like my variation of a bench press, right, in that order. But I found out that I get even more hypertrophy if I mix it up. So if I'll start out with doing curls and then go into doing push-ups, or do a set of push-ups, then go do a set of curls, then do a set of push-ups, because then it's like I'm using my triceps and then my bicep. I've actually seen a good amount of success in that, more hypertrophy. So yeah, it's very interesting. But back to what I was talking about. So I got on to my second set of 125, and I did have in my wrist, I did have like a slight just like click noise.
A twing.
Just a twing, you know, and I tweaked it just a little bit. And I've been working out for a couple years now, and all the guys that I've heard, they said the second anything goofy like that happens, stop, you know. And it was upper body day, so you kind of do everything with your hands. So I was like, well, you know, I'm gonna play it smart and not try to lift anything else. And I went on Amazon and ordered some wrist straps, because I'm like, probably when you get over 100 pounds, you probably should be wearing wrist straps. Anything lower than that, you're fine. But
yeah, your biceps are way stronger than your wrists.
Yeah.
And there's lots of ways to strengthen your wrist. And
sure,
in a perfect world, you would want to not use them. But if you're, you know, when you're select training, I think it makes a lot of sense. Better to do it and not hurt yourself.
Yeah. Because I was trying to make sure that my wrists were straight, you know, not having it, you know, do any goofy stuff or anything like that. But yeah, just when you get into higher weights and stuff like that. So
yep.
It was a little bit sad, but it's fine. You know, nothing major or anything like that, but also exciting at the same time.
Yeah,
being able to move some heavier weights around.
Very good. Very good.
So what's up with your health check?
Well, my health check's been good. You know, I've been using the NeoMed to combat whatever whether it's allergies or some other genetically derived version of something else. And I've been doing great. Everything's
that's good.
Been feeling good. I'm going back to OMAD, red meat. So I haven't eaten. I ate a half of a New York strip about 2 o'clock, and then we're going to have these monster prime ribs when we're done. And I'm super ready for that.
So, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
But yeah, everything is going good.
Good.
Still doing my hangs. Shoulders doing okay. You know, it gets frustrating because I'm trying to use it as normal and the power is just not there. Like when I was fixing this fence, you know, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be able to even move again. So I'm not going to complain. And hopefully I do want to get it to where I can train, maybe start doing back or something. I still kind of really feel like, just because of so much of the labrum's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can't use one arm basically to do like symmetrical stuff, I don't really know how I'm going to do it yet.
But, yeah.
But we're going to figure that all out. It's try, fail, adjust. That's what we do.
There you go.
That's how you get ahead in life. So, yeah. So that is health check.
There you go.
I think that's it. I don't have anything else to add there. We could jump right in to verse of the day. The verse of the day is going to correlate with our main topic. And so let's get into the verse of the day. The verse of the day today comes from Matthew 12:39. And camera is there. We go. Nice.
Camera's on.
Buddy answered and said unto them, so this is Christ speaking, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, for context, let's read the next verse, the next couple verses. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay. So that is the verse of the day. It's going to be part of the main topic. So I will be circling back to that. So that's the verse of the day. Another sponsor of today's podcast is foodforestnursery.com. The Texas Boys 10 promo code will get you 10% off. They sell awesome bare root fruit trees. We've been doing some food forest updates.
Yeah.
So you got to see a little bit what's going on here. The reason we don't do more is because nobody watches them. So we would gladly do hundreds of them, but for whatever weird reason that them tube and their Al Gore rhythms, you know, I don't know if it's Al Gore's fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but nobody watches them, or we would do more of them, but I'm still going to do
there them. Is I like a loyal them. 500 people that watch pretty much anything we
thanks.
Put up.
Thanks guys. Yeah. Can you do more of these? Well, yeah, if people would watch them. We would do more of them, but yeah, foodforestnursery.com. Excellent quality products. Ship bare root. Now's the time to order. Now's the time to plant. So go on over to foodforestnursery.com. The Texas Boys 10 will get you 10% off. Hey, thanks all y'all that have already made purchases. We appreciate it.
Definitely.
It supports the show.
Yep.
This is value for value. We don't want to just do this because we love to do it, but we do love to do it. And do you want to just jump right into kind of like the main topic?
Yeah, let's talk about the main topic, big elephant in the room.
Okay. And so
just our experience with everything else. So do we want to talk about our experience first or no? What do you want to do?
Well, I think what I'm going to do. So my buddy Rip, he's a great friend of mine. He helps me out with all this AV stuff.
Yeah.
And he's been on the channel. Stuff,
yeah.
Mike Build a Tiny House. So if you're an OG and you're OG, watching,
you know, Mike.
Rip is Mike. And, and I text Rip the day. It was either the day of the eclipse or the day after the eclipse. And it's another reason why I wanted to do this podcast. And we were trying to do it yesterday. I'm like, man, by the time we get this audio thing fixed, it's going to be irrelevant. But, but we got it done. That's what we do. So we try, fail, adjust.
Yep.
That's how we succeed around here. So I text Mike and I said, heard any good cornspiracies that are going to happen today? So this was on the day of the eclipse. He responded, let's see, nukes, EMP making the land desolate, National Guard deployed, FEMA camps, CERN and NASA messing with space and time, supposed to be a Jewish feast day today. It's the sign of Jonah, X marks the spot, and the U.S. outline looks like a giant whale. Mike sums it up in typical Mike fashion. So basically Y2K. And this is why this was such a great topic, because I heard previously, it was on a YouTube short, and it was some kind of like pastor prophecy guy on some big stage at some big mega church. And he kind of had an Australian accent, you know, and he was breaking down this eclipse thing of in 2017. The eclipse. And of course it's always like super America centric. And this is what cracks me up, like with all this pre-trib stuff. It's like exclusively Americana doctrine. But so he was saying how in 2017 the eclipse went this way and it went through seven cities called Salem, which means peace. And then this time this eclipse was going to go through seven cities called Nineveh, which wasn't true. It passed through two cities called Nineveh, and then it was near to like five other, you know, but they got to mess with it to make their hokey pokey work. And I'm just like, and then he said, you know, Nineveh seven times is relevant because there will be no sign given to you except for the prophet Jonas, which is why I wanted to read this verse of the day for a twofold reason. A threefold reason. First off, so much of Americana and exclusively prophecy is really, really incredibly fake, and a lot of resting of scriptures, a lot of twisting and resting of facts, like this whole thing of, and then the other thing was, is where these two, where these, the 17 eclipse path and the this year's eclipse past, there's a city and I forget what the bullseye was. It's, and it's so irrelevant. And, and my main point is, and you hear this stuff a lot, and there's a lot of this Hebrew root stuff going on, and, you know, we need to get back to the, our Hebrew roots, and we really need to understand the New Testament from the Old Testament, when it's, when it's, when the New Covenant, it says the exact opposite. Like, we understand the scriptures now in the New Covenant exclusively. We understand the Old Testament now through the New Covenant, because this New Covenant was a mystery. It's called the mystery of godliness, right? And Paul talks about it. Everybody talks about it over and over again. That's why people hate on Paul too, by the way. But all of this conspiratoria, right? And then all of this like false doctrine, just really weird, spurious, coincidental, Americana manipulation. And it was just, and like, there'll be no sign given you the prophet. That's talking about Christ. Like, and it's so, I get really mad because you got this idiot and he's dressed in a suit and everything, and he's got an Australian or English accent, and he sounds really smart, and he's saying something totally stupid. And there was several, people. I know CBN had a guy, and he was making all the same talking points, and he had an English accent. And, I think it was Justin Peters, or maybe there's another channel about text. I forget the channel. I don't want to butcher it, but that were playing these guys, and they were using these same stupid talking points that are like completely, oh yeah, the eclipse entered the U.S. at Eagle Pass. You know, it's American centric, like, well, the eclipse first happened in Mexico. You know what I mean? It's just so weird. And that people are like, oh yeah, you know, and then there was all this other stuff like the eclipse is going to be this. Oh, it's going to be that. Oh, it's a cover for this. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, that's going to happen. There's all these national emergencies.
Yeah.
And, another great one that I heard was there was all these terrorist alerts because since people were going to be gathering in large numbers in public, that these terror cells were going to be activated to kill people. And none of this stuff. Now, could some of this stuff had happened, like a terrorist? Sure. But there's all this conspiratoria stuff. And this is, you know, we talk about that William Casey quote, you know, we know that our disinformation program is working when everything that Americans believe is a lie. And that's what's predicated upon a lot of this misinfo, disinfo, reconstructionist history, is that when stuff happens, one, they always predicate it by a lot of hype and misdirection and a ton of disinfo dump. And then secondly, after it happens, then they revise it. And, you know, which is, that's why we did a, when we did a podcast on the red heifer, I thought that was really good. A lot of people appreciated that. If you want to go back and listen to that, I said it could be a problem in the title. The reason I said it could be a problem is if they actually pull the trigger when they're supposed to this month, there's a really good chance that they won't do that. There's a chance that they'll never do it.
Yep.
Y'all, they've been talking about rebuilding the supposed temple for hundreds of years. And oh boy, they got this red heifer supposedly, you know. And whatever. But it might not happen.
Yeah.
There's a greater percentage there's a greater percentage that it won't happen than that it will happen. So I thought this was like a really good topic to kind of discuss and mm-hmm. talk about, because when it comes to current events, and what I thought we could talk about is, you know, we all got to hang out together as a family
yeah.
and watch the eclipse. And it was,
I didn't think it was going to be as cool as it actually was. I was like, oh yeah, sure. You know, it's eclipse, big deal. You know, I was comparing it to the last eclipse I saw, and that was only a partial eclipse. This was we saw it on the back porch. It was kind of insane because I looked at the clock and I was like, wow, it felt like 30 minutes, but we actually watched this thing for 2 hours as a family on our property. Our property's right in line, you know, with it. You know, so we saw it bang on, and it was insane. And just the confusion of the animals too.
It was so wild.
It was so insane. So watching it absolutely go dark, pretty much totally dark, which was crazy, just dark. And then when it started to peek out, all the morning birds started singing. The roosters started crowing.
The tree frogs
started going off.
The crickets.
Yeah. They started cricketing when it went
dark. When it went dark, the tree frogs started chirping and the crickets started cricketing.
They were so confused. Like, they were so confused.
That's so crazy. Like, I mean, instantaneously.
Yeah, it was nuts. Weird. It was nuts.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool thing to capture, and was able to get a lot of great video of it. Lots of good photos of it. I was able to actually put the cover of your glasses over top of my camera on my phone, and then I was able to take some really good photos of it. And even with the actually having a little bit of cloud cover, just some rolling clouds, you were actually able to look at the eclipse when it was in a thick cloud, actually, because it would protect your eyes enough.
And this,
it was really neat to look at.
I had taking the day off
mm-hmm.
to just look at the eclipse.
Yeah.
And because it's so fascinating to me. And just for, not that we need to go in depth about all these different cosmology, whether I'm geocentric. We did mm-hmm. a podcast on geocentricity. We had Dr. Philip Stott on and he talked about it. And geocentric is not saying that the earth is flat or anything. It's just saying that the earth is
in the center,
stationary and in the center
of creation. Yep.
Because God's creation. The focus of creation.
Yep.
And you know, when it comes to solar eclipses and lunar eclipses,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of very observable things that aren't normally observable.
Mm-hmm.
And the most fascinating thing about an eclipse, and certainly a solar eclipse, there was actually a large book written on this called The Privileged Planet. It was written by, I think the guy was an astrophysicist, and he was an atheist. And then by studying this and experiencing a solar eclipse, what he observed is that the size and the distance
mm-hmm.
of the earth, the moon and the sun. Now we can all argue about how big they are, how sure. far away they are.
Blah,
it's
blah, blah.
All completely, absolutely, totally irrelevant
yeah.
when it comes to the fact of
that part is just, that is not,
it's a statistical impossibility, yeah. like in the factors of trillions.
Yeah,
that
to say that that's all from a big bang,
it's absolute impossibility.
It's just
a person can stand on the surface of the earth, whatever shape you think it is. Right.
Yeah. Whatever.
And you can stare up at the sun,
and the moon is perfectly spaced between the sun and us, that it will perfectly cover up the sun, leaving just a little tiny halo of light around it.
And what's even more fascinating, insane. Like I've watched maybe like 3 or 4 eclipses now, maybe in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a total eclipse on the East Coast when I was young, was probably 9 or 10, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit younger or older than that. I don't quite remember. I remember 17. I was at work when you guys were, and then
that
and
was
then
just this partial.
Time. So maybe I've seen 2 or 3. I've definitely seen 3. I know that.
Okay. Gotcha.
And, regardless of whatever shape you think the earth is, the fact that you can stand here on this earth and you mm-hmm. look up at that and the moon is absolutely the exact right size to block out the sun. And here's what's even more fascinating. Yeah. Every time I've seen it, there's always been mild cloud cover, and that cloud cover. So, okay. A couple hundred years ago, maybe they did, and they probably did have the technology to know how to shield out some of the UV lighting so they you could actually like really observe it.
Yeah.
They probably did have that tech. I bet you maybe even a couple thousands of years ago, they had that tech. Sure. I don't know. But here's what's wild is God will allow translucent cloud cover to pass through that, and you can observe it without stuff on your eyes. So that's even more fascinating.
Because that's what I was actually thinking. I was talking to the boys about this, my brothers, and I didn't think about that at first, actually. But yeah, that's totally true. Because I was like, wow, I'm like, not that long ago, these little plastic, you know, lenses and stuff weren't invented, you know, and not everybody and their grandmother could have these for free, like given out, you know, and you just look up with this, you know, couple cent piece and you can observe it. But it was kind of incredible because I was like, oh, well, maybe nobody was able to really witness it. But now, yeah, but that makes total sense with the cloud cover. You know, that was the most incredible. That was one of the coolest parts of the eclipse while it was happening, was the couple clouds that would pass by. And you could actually watch it with your naked eye.
Yeah, we were even able to barely see some solar flares.
Yeah.
Another guy in Erie, Pennsylvania caught the solar flare.
Well, that was the craziest thing. So I'm filming it, right? 30X zooming in on it. And I'm like, Dad, there's a permanent red dot coming from the bottom of it. And then it perfectly lined up with the guy's video of that solar flare. Yeah, there was a big old solar flare happening the whole time. When it went into full eclipse, but it's
and none of it was a NASA psyop. It happens regularly. None of it is a sign from God. It's not a blood moon. You know, you have Jonathan Kahneman. He's supposedly some messianic something or other. And then you have John, the heretic Hagee, and they say all this dumb stuff to sell their fake books about all this false prophecy.
Look, NASA couldn't, if they wanted to, they couldn't make that happen.
Yeah, of course not.
No, because that is such a God thing.
Yeah,
NASA moves the stinking moon in front of the sun for everybody in that area, and even around it. Even if you weren't really in the area, you could still see the partial eclipse.
I find it really challenging if you're not a Christian and you have like a Gnostic or atheistic worldview, or even and there's lots of Christians that supposedly believe in evolution, you know, and they say macro, micro, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's completely unbiblical. Then if you just even look at the histrionics of it and Huxley and Darwin and eugenics and all that stuff, but everybody wants to always
it's so much more simpler just to believe in God.
Well, when you observe, when you can observe an event like that, and this goes back into these signs and wonders, right? Now here's a natural occurring created event that's created exclusively to be observed by us.
Yep.
And interestingly and ironically enough, even the rest of creation responds to it, which is hilarious. I mean, and to experience that part too, and then to have, because of the micro ecosystem that we built, and we have all these, y'all, if you go out here at night at 8 o'clock, the tree frog chorus is crazy. There are thousands. those.
Yeah. Things. And then went in the morning, just the morning birds and everything like that.
And then, all the roosters crowing when the sun came back out.
I know.
It's so fascinating.
And the morning birds and everything.
But what it does is it puts the focus on this event, and the focus is God, the creator. It's not like doomsday. You know, it's not like all this other stupid stuff.
Yeah.
The sign of the prophet Jonas was Christ dying, being buried for 3 days and rising again. That sign has already happened. It's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And as a New Testament Christian, you really should stop looking for signs and wonders. It says, you know, there will be no sign given to you. That sign was given. That was it. And really, honestly, that sign was for the Jews. We all benefited from it. And the Jews seek after a sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then that could bleed back into our red heifer. I don't want to get on that topic. That's a whole totally other thing that's very interesting. And it's a very, very deep topic that I continue to discuss with others and talk about. And there's lots of neat stuff. Something I read this week on that about Ashkenaz. And, you know, who is the descendants are the Ashkenazis, and Ashkenaz was from Japheth. So he wasn't even a Shemite. So he's not even a Semite. So you have all this anti-Semitism stuff, and they're not even
interesting.
They're not even Shemites. So there's lots of interesting stuff, but anyway, I digress. But yeah, the eclipse was just such an incredible experience, and it was so glorifying to God. And all the conspiratorious stuff aside, and look, the deep state is absolutely real.
Definitely
intelligence industrial product is tracking us, packing us.
Chemtrails are real.
Chemtrails are
real. This is weird. Okay. Zero chemtrails during the whole entire eclipse. Okay. And that's rare for Texas because it's like perpetual chemtrail out here, right? The second. I'm no joke. Yeah. The second the eclipse
that's true
ends, right? It's the sun starts peeking out again, right? Like maybe a quarter of the way exposed, right? Boom. Coming out of the, I think it was out of the west.
Here he comes.
Boom. Chemtrail.
Spray I'm like cockroaches, y'all.
I'm like,
thanks. Hey.
Oh my goodness. They couldn't even wait for the fully end, man. So it was
crazy. That's what they do. That's what they do.
Yeah. So.
But do you on the main topic, do you have anything else that you want to
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that were trying to get distracted by something, you know, or wanted something to happen, you know.
Oh, and that's another great point. Like, what? Oh, this is just a distraction, the eclipse, you know. No, it's not. This happens every 80, you know, this stuff happens. Like, it's going to happen again in Texas, I think, in 150 years.
Or yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
But this happens regularly on the lunar cycle.
Yeah.
Like, and it can be predicted, and they predicted 2024 in the 70s. And it was like in the newspaper. So this is very predictable.
Well, that's a great, well, that proved all their predictions, right? Because it literally happened precisely at the time that they were saying it was going to happen too.
Like, yeah, the only weird thing
is where they changed the that
week before.
Well, that was a little bit weird.
Which was a little bit weird.
They did change that. Yeah.
How does that happen? Like, you know, this.
Which I saw a couple articles where they said, like, it was like last second. They were like, oh yeah, it kind of changed courses. I'm like, how could it change courses? What do you mean? Like, how does that work? Oh my goodness.
So yeah, very, very strange. Yeah. But yeah, don't be manipulated, don't be gullible, don't jump on the first thing. And
because I think there are some conspiracy theorists out there that just want the next thing.
Yeah, they want, like, everything
believe in,
and they want, you know, everything to be a conspiracy.
Sure,
and they want everything to be a red flag. They want everything to be controlled opposition. COINTELPRO and all this stuff. And I'm not denying that a lot of it isn't.
A lot of it is. But
yeah. But, you know, stuff still happens. God said,
this is a very natural thing that's happening. It's not like a boat crashing into a bridge. Okay.
Right.
There's several different components happening there. The only being in charge is God in this whole eclipse deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is controlling this. Okay. When it comes to a boat crashing to a bridge, there is a lot of factors playing into it. There's a lot of moving parts. And okay, I could get on board with a couple conspiracies on there. Okay. I get that. But when it comes to the eclipse, you know, it's a total God thing. So I think we're on the old all clear here for the eclipse.
Yeah. So that was the main topic. I thought it was pertinent, relevant. And yeah. I'm glad that we could actually record it in a timely fashion so that it was relevant. Cause I thought that
this a little bit, a little bit belated. But.
And in closing, I wanted to do a viewer mail. We got a response from, I don't remember the name, but they were, I did an interview with Charlie from Yanassa TV, from Yanassa Ranch, mm-hmm. and he was talking about homeschooling.
Okay.
They homeschool their kids, and I was encouraging him, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And somebody made the comment about how, like, all homeschool kids, they've met all the homeschool kids they've ever met, and they've met hundreds.
Wow.
They're all, like, weird and maladapted mm-hmm. and, you know, not functional in society.
So you know why, right?
Why?
So I have met a lot, I'll say that, possibly hundreds of homeschooled kids, okay? And I would actually agree with that statement. There is a lot of homeschool kids that are in these very synthetic environments, and they are really goofy, and they're mm-hmm. really weird, mm-hmm. and that's why I don't go to homeschool groups. And the couple times that I did, I was like, this is so weird. These kids are, they want to be public schoolers. Like they want to be public schoolers, but they're not, you know, it's really weird. I think it's because the majority of them that go to these homeschool groups that you meet are in suburbia and they live a very synthetic life.
Yep.
Also, a lot of these homeschoolers have broken homes too. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that part too. Even if the mom stays at home, the roles can be
and they're
goofy.
Their home's broken because 80 to 90% of all homes are broken. So it's not sadly. Because they're homeschoolers. I just wanted to make that distinction.
No. Yeah. And personally, the few that I have met of homeschoolers that are real deal homeschoolers, but when they are in a country environment and they're on a farm and they're farm kids and they got farm smarts more than homeschool smarts, you know, more than book smarts, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, book smarts are great, you know, but at the end of the day, it's all about life experience, you know, and getting out there, getting your hands dirty, try, fail, adjust, you know, pick yourself up after you fail, you know, or you mess up, you know, you order the wrong color of sheet metal, you know,
somebody did that
or you're up on a ladder fully extended with a Sawzall and then it backfires on you. And then you have to quick become Ninja Doug and spin around and catch yourself or you are going to go ahead and break your leg again.
Ninja Doug reference.
Ninja Doug.
Shout out to Ninja Doug.
Ninja Doug. So anyway, you know, I would agree with that fact. There is a lot of goofy homeschoolers out there. So I totally understand where that person, if you went to a homeschooling group and you're like, whoa, I would not want my kids to be like that, you know?
Yeah. And here's my point.
But I definitely wouldn't want that to be a turnoff.
Right. And here's my point. How many maladjusted government school kids are there? They have entire classrooms
definitely
with kids that can't function in society in the sense of you can't put them in an air quotes normal government school classroom because they're not socially adjusted to be able to function in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And look, and this isn't, we're not talking about special needs or anything like that. No. They're, you know, that's a totally different story and ball game, mm-hmm. but I'm just talking about, you know, I'm talking about No Child Left Behind. I'm talking about kids that get out of high school and can't even read. And you're going to say, oh, I ain't going to homeschool my kid because every homeschool I met's a weirdo. Well, yeah, but I mean, is the government school doing a better job creating a better product?
No, absolutely not. Even if your you know, you homeschool your kid and your kid is kind of that weirdo. When he gets out and he gets some dirt under his fingernails and gets, you know, starts working a job or starts his own company up, he's going to learn real quick. And, you know, there's a lot of character building when it comes to taking on responsibilities. So I think there's a lot of homeschoolers out there that are a little bit weird and introverted. There's a lot of introverts
because they really are sheltered.
Yeah.
And they are prevented.
And from they doing don't know who they want to be yet, you know, and they're trying to find themselves, you know, so there's a lot of that too. So you have to have a lot of grace with them.
Yeah. And they're trying to find themselves in a synthetic suburbia, in a concrete jungle.
Yep.
Where their only outlets are video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have a lot of that too. That really messes a lot of homeschool kids up is the video games.
Make some idiots.
When there's nothing else to do, you know, I'm not saying all video games are terrible or whatever. I'm just saying when that's the only thing they can do to like do give them dopamine and enjoyment and fulfillment in life. Yeah. It's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing.
It's a replacement for achievement.
When they go into their backyard, I've personally experienced this, and they're like, let's pretend to make a fire. I'm like, no, let's get sticks and actually make a fire. Let's not pretend to make a fire. Let's go make a fire, you know, because that would always drive me insane.
That's dangerous.
So, but if you are homeschooling your kids, that is definitely the first step. You know, you made the first step. That's the hardest decision right there.
And post Rona, I mean, for one, there for a while, everybody was homeschooling their kids. I mean, now, exponentially more people.
And the public school made it incredibly difficult on all of the public school kids that had to wink, wink, homeschool because they wanted them to get back into the public schools. So they made their lives miserable. I personally had a cousin and she came down on a vacation. And they made her life
sit at a laptop
absolutely hectic. Okay.
Yeah, miserable.
She would straight up be on the computer from 5 o'clock in the morning till midnight. And she had to do all this type of assignments on Sunday and absolutely horrendous. And of course, these kids are itching to go back to
government school,
the normal school, you know. Because who the heck wants to do all this work? And it's so stupid. And I get so frustrated because my homeschooling was never that hard. You know, one and a half hours every day, you know, and it was so much easier than all this 8 hours of schoolwork plus homework after that. It's so stupid. So dumb. But anyway, rant over.
Rant over. Yeah, so that's a little viewer mail. I wanted to respond to that comment.
Definitely.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good subject to talk on. As we close out, are there any parting thoughts, anything that you want to interject, Matt? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I would just say not to get so doomsday. Like, the world's definitely going to hell one way or another.
Very quickly.
But you definitely still have to find the silver linings in life. Like, you know, when you're outside, you know, mowing the grass or you're with your animals or your critters, or, you know, if you are working your dream job or you own your own business, you know, and of course you're going to have bad days and good days, but just being able to, in the good times, you know, be able to remember them and kind of relish in them, you know, because there are harder days to come. You know, so definitely not just don't be on the doomsday bus, you know, all the time.
Yeah. You know, we're supposed to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and, you know, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we have to work on our mindset and we have to honor and glorify God. The sole aim of man is to glorify God.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't do that with a doomsday mindset.
Yeah.
You can't do that, you know. And it's, yeah, we prepare. Yeah, we're aware.
Absolutely.
We pay attention to our surroundings. We pay attention to the news. It's very important to know trends and different things so that you can prepare, so that you can put yourself in an advantage position, whether it's in business or whether it's currency, or whether you're saving. I mean, there's so many important reasons.
Or scammers.
to stay up on this stuff, or mm-hmm. if somebody's trying to scam you, right? Mm-hmm.
Internet scam.
It's really yeah. good to mm-hmm. be aware of these things so that you're not naive to different things.
Definitely.
You're not ignorant to different things, yep. but in a very real general sense and way, you need to get from the day. You know what I mean? It was Jim Rohn. He's like, don't get through the day. It's not about just getting through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, I get to go to bed and then do it all over again and get through the day. But get from the day. What are you taking from yeah, the day?
That's a good one.
If you're redeeming the time, what are you getting for what are you putting into your future? What are you investing?
That 1%.
Yeah. What are you, what's going forward? What's going to make tomorrow better than today? And look, and this goes to Matt's point, like they, them, and those, and those that won't leave you alone, and all those guys. And
the guys that no matter who you vote in,
right,
it will not change them.
Right. Those guys, all that or stuff, that beat goes on.
Yeah,
that will always go on. And that stuff will continue,
mm-hmm.
and there's that struggle between good and evil, and there's the prince and the power of the yep. air that has current dominion. Unfortunately, he's not bound to all my post-millennial Sadly. Friends, but I'm still trying to figure that one out. But anyway, but that's all the more reason why you have to look on the bright side.
Definitely. Yep.
And that's why we like the joke, and that's why mm-hmm. we, you know, poke fun at stuff, and that's why we like to laugh, and that's what we do.
Yep.
And because, you know, life...
That's how you cope.
Life is a vapor.
You cope with
and
life.
They, them, and those are going to do what they do, but mm-hmm. you know what? We're going to do what we do. We're going to enjoy life
yep.
to our greatest ability, and we're going to plan ahead, and we're going to plant a tree, and we're going to watch it grow, and we're going to watch fruit set on that tree. Dude, that's yeah. an achievement, you know?
Yep.
And here's what's awesome. God has the hard part of all that. You know, the mm-hmm. seed, the soil, the sun. I'm quoting Jim Rohn again, but the purpose of the seed is the soil and the sunshine and the rain. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose? To see what you can make of it.
Mm.
But God has the hard part.
Mm.
You know, planting that tree isn't the hard part,
yep.
but making it fruitful, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
And that God does all that. So that's the beauty of it. And that's why the eclipse is there, because God does all that.
Mm.
We can't do anything to it. We couldn't yep. do anything to stop it.
Yep.
NASA can sound repercussive missiles at
sure.
the sun, and
it ain't gonna stop it.
Do whatever they're doing. Whatever they were doing has everything to do with weather as a weapon, as a force multiplier, sure. has to do with manipulation, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's yeah. happening. I'm yeah. not gonna deny that it's happening. I'm not mm-hmm. gonna deny that chemtrails are real, you know, just because my normalcy bias, and I would be too scared to think of the fact that they were really doing that, even though they've been doing it for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
But that's all, y'all. I hope this is an encouragement to y'all. This is a value for value proposition. If you love what we do, go on over to thetexasboys.com. We've been getting a lot of people buying a lot of native products, native mud and three mushroom, seven mushroom
mm-hmm.
coffee, CBD coffee, and tons of honey. We love and appreciate y'all. We Definitely. Thank you for the support.
Yep.
And I guess we'll see y'all on the next podcast.
We'll see y'all later.
Remember, y'all, stay fearless, my friends.